Hey, you know, The Ringer has four local podcasts, right? For sports. We have Off the Pike with Brian Barrett. That's Boston. New York, New York with John Jastrzemski. The Full Go is Chicago with Jason Goff. And last but not least, The Ringer's Philly Special. Shil Kapadia and Ben Solak covering the Eagles and Raheem Palmer and Chris Ryan covering the Sixers. Go check all of them out on The Ringer Podcast Network. We're also brought to you by The Ringer Podcast Network, where Joanna Robinson and I broke down episode 6 of White Lotus on the Prestige TV podcast. That's already up. Another good episode. Season finale is in a week. Mallory Rubin and Joanna are going to be doing a whole theories episode probably Thursday on the Prestige TV. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. We also are covering Wednesday this week in two parts because the whole first season went up. It's a hot show right now. You know how I know it's a hot show? My daughter, where I get most of my pop culture, she's like, Dad, that's a hot show right now. She devoured it. So we're going to be doing that in Sex Lives of College Girls as well. So that is the Prestige feed on the Rewatchables Monday night. Me and Chris Ryan, we're doing a Denzel movie. That's all I'm going to say. Can it go wrong on the Rewatchables with the Denzel movie? My short answer is no, but that's what you have to look forward to on Monday night. And if you want to hear some World Cup stuff over the course of the week, go check out Counterpressed and Righty's House and Stadio FC for all of their World Cup takes. Disappointing weekend for America, but also expected. Dutch is at a whole other level. We need a striker. We need somebody that could put corner kicks and free kicks in the box. We need a little athleticism in the back. We need a different coach. I'd like a coach that played our best 11 guys for more than 20 minutes together. I don't know. Call me crazy. But we need a striker. You know, this is a basketball team in the NBA. You're not getting past round one unless you have a guy. You need a guy. We need a guy. We need a striker. Let's just go get one from another country. Let's just do it. Just convince. Remember when Hakeem, he just jumped to Team USA? What year was that? Like 2000? Just need a guy from another country. We've already kind of done it a little bit with a couple of the guys on this team where they could have played for multiple countries, they end up playing for us. We need a striker. Come to the U.S. Score goals for us. Finish. Finish crosses. Finish headers in the box. Do one-timers. How many one-timers did we see go sailing over the net? I mean, I like Weston McKennie, but if the net was 30 feet high, he would have been the best player in the world. We need a striker. I still enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun watching Team USA, even though it was a root canal every game, but I'm going to miss watching them. I haven't decided who I'm adopting yet. Kind of enjoyed the Dutch. I got to be honest. I liked the way they played. I liked how they just kind of hung back, waited for us to mess up, had total confidence, and then just kind of demolished us a couple of times. I was impressed. I like their uniforms too. I don't know. I'll announce on Tuesday who I'm rooting for. Tuesday, we have a podcast here. Thursday, obviously, and coming up on this one, the Cuz coming off a big Sunday night Dallas win. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some major QB injuries and a topsy-turvy week 13. That's all next. First, Pro Jet. Coming up on the Toyota Halftime, Cousin Sal says that it's San Francisco's time to find another QB.
There were 13 games today.
We should have rehearsed that better.
I don't know. I think that went better than how they actually do it.
They should have done it like Jimmy G is down to 1 foot.
Right, exactly.
Lamar Jackson, his knee hurts. We're making fun of the Sunday night NBC halftime promo that we love, that we can't believe they're still doing. We thought after we made fun of it and a bunch of other people made fun of it, we thought they would audible, but no, they didn't. They ran it back with Garrett, who now looks like the Riddler in these halftime things. He's like grinning maniacally, like he just kidnapped somebody.
And he has his hands in his pockets. I guess it's because they don't trust him to not just break out and start clapping out of nowhere in the 8-second promo. But yeah, that turn to camera is as if Mr. Roper was Frankenstein. I don't know what the hell is going on there.
We always thought that the clapper could have been a DC Comics villain, but he's actually turning into a DC Comics villain. He's got this crazy smile. He's offering no insight. And I got to say, it's my favorite halftime show. I go out of my way to watch it every week. What did he say today at halftime about? And then, you know, Matt Ryan, he made that turnover and that was big for Dallas.
Yeah, the turnover like at the end of the half was big or something like that.
The turnover is big. That was the 8-point swing was big.
Just nugget after sound advice. And just, I mean, it's like, yeah, this guy definitely coached in the NFL.
He went 8-8 for 9 years in a row. Yeah. We're going to try to offer insight that's a little bit better than that today. Your team crushed the Colts, which was the story of the day.
That's how you do it on national television. That's what you do, Simmons. You don't embarrass yourself in these primetime games like your stupid team did. 54-19. No holes in this Cowboys squad. Not an L.
How scared were you for Dak at various points in that game?
Were? Here's what I keep telling myself, because he could have had like 7 or 8 interceptions. I know we say that for a lot of quarterbacks, but first of all, there's 5 weeks left, right? So get it out of the system now. Get rolling, get hot. 2-3 weeks from now, you know, maybe, you know, Gallup's picking it up. Maybe they're back in sync somehow. I don't know. I know you're not convinced, but my buddies, I'm on other text chains with Cowboys fans. I'm like, what other quarterback in the NFC are you confident will win 3 games in the playoffs? Like maybe Jalen Hurts at this point, but definitely not with Jimmy G going down now, right? The 49ers are out of the mix. Kirk Cousins, you don't think of that, right? So we're on par. We're good. We're fine.
I did a week 13 snapshot, and there's only 8 teams that I think I can actually see in the playoffs, not counting the NFC South team.
See in the Super Bowl?
No, just that I think are playoff teams. I think there's 6 spots available, basically. I guess 5. But Buffalo, KC, Tennessee, Cincy, just because Tennessee is going to win AFC South. Mm-hmm. Philly, Minnesota, San Francisco, Dallas, and then the NFC South. So we have 5 spots basically open right now. And going back to your quarterback point, you know, we're gonna have Sam Darnold in a playoff game. Like you can't, we still can't rule out Carolina in the NFC South. We're gonna have Brock. What's his last name? What's Brock's last name in the Niners?
Brock Osweiler? No. What?
Brock.
What's Brock the Niners? Purdy. Oh, Brock Purdy.
Yeah. Brock Purdy's gonna be in a playoff game. I'm excited for him. I did some research on him, which unfortunately didn't include his last name, but we could have Mike White. Lotus himself, he might be in the playoffs. Heineke might be in the playoffs.
Sure.
Danny Dimes might be in the playoffs. Kenny Pickett, outside chances in the playoffs. Geno Smith is probably going to be in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So you think like Dak, after when you list all the guys that are going to be in there, Dak's looking better and better.
Thank you. That makes me feel good. I didn't do all that research, but that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
I tried. Jimmy G is out for the season. At a time when I thought the Niners had a chance to come at it today as not people saying they were the best team, but them becoming the chic Super Bowl pick. Because Philly looked great today. You know, part of it was because Burks got hurt. Once Burks got hurt, you knew Tennessee was done. And also because everybody and their brother bet on Tennessee today.
Right.
But Philly did everything they needed to do. They're now the favorite because KC lost. But San Fran was moving into that, oh man, this defense, McCaffrey looks great. They got McCaffrey, Debo, Kittle healthy. Jimmy G's good enough. And then it's over in 5 minutes. With that said, our guy Brock was like pretty good for a third string Mr. Irrelevant rookie. I was kind of stunned by how confident he was. I thought he actually played well.
Paul Heyman should bring him out, right? Our guy Brock. Brock Purdy. Brock, the most sensational. And I think there's no better offense to go into, right? It would, you know, to replace a hurt quarterback, right? Like it's, you know, they run the ball great. They scheme their receivers. You mentioned all those guys, right? Kittle, Debo, Jennings, out of nowhere, Ayuk. You know, they have a lot of weapons, a lot of play members, right? I feel like it's like my son's in the band, right? And he plays bass clarinet. And if you're in a great band, you could just sit there and pretend to play. I'm not saying that that's what he does, but I feel like that's the same with the quarterback position for the 49ers. You're not going to embarrass the team, I don't think. Now, that said, there's going to be tape on him in a week and 2 weeks. I don't know how fast they could turn these videotapes around, but there will be tape on him and he's going to make some mistakes. But yeah, he's fine.
It would be like going into the World Cup without a striker and then trying to get past the knockout. Oh, no, that just happened to me. Can we do the Jimmy G thing quick? This guy weirdly has had terrible luck, right? He gets drafted in the Patriots. He's going to be Tom Brady's successor. we all assume Brady, oh, he'll be done by 2016-17, then Jimmy G will take over. Brady's like, nope, hold my beer, and just continues to play. So they finally trade him to the Niners, gets his own team with Kyle Shanahan. This is great. Blows out his knee. Then comes back, comes within like, I don't know, how close was that throw? What did he overthrow that guy by? A yard and a half?
Oh, yeah.
Guy catches it, he's maybe a Super Bowl hero MVP. That doesn't happen. Then they decide, Trey Lance. Instead of using these first rounders we have to beef up your contender, we're going to bring in your competition. Almost makes it again last year. And you could argue that they came within one or two plays that Rams game.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp doesn't go nuts, which has nothing to do with him. Yeah.
Now we get to this season. Lance gets hurt. And now it's happening for him again. And then he gets hurt again. This is his second season-ending injury. The guy's snake bit. I actually felt bad for him because I like him.
I do too, but he's a beautiful bastard, so he's got that going for
him. He'll just have sex.
Don't care. If John Hamm doesn't make the playoffs in our fantasy league, we're not that upset about it, right? Like, oh, this guy's got the worst luck. No. But yeah, I don't know. Wait till he ends up on the Jets next year. Then the luck's going to be even worse.
Well, I wrote down in my notes, and this is before I did all the research, what does San Francisco do? And I guess the answer is, you sign Josh Johnson from Denver's practice squad. There's not a lot of moves. Josh Johnson's been on 14 teams. I didn't even know he was still like peripherally involved in the league, but there's no moves.
He's made $8 million. I was like, oh, that's a lot. And I'm like, no, that's not that for a football player that's been on almost all the teams. That's not a lot at all. That's minimum wage.
I was thinking it would be great if this was like our fantasy league. Where like Monday, a talking point was the Niners. I mean, they were smart. They have $69 in free agent money left. We'll see on Wednesday night who they get. They're just putting in for like Josh Johnson, Brian Hoyer, all these third stringers. But it's too bad. It makes me wonder, like, if the trade deadline, like when in our fantasy league, our trade deadline went until last week. So even that would have been, we wouldn't have made it. But it's too bad Tom Brady couldn't be like, hey, Bucks, just release me. We're good, right? We're not going to win this year. Can you just release me and let me go to San Francisco and take over? But that just can't happen. So we're going to get Brock Purdy. That's what's
Brock happening. Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, which means he was the last player drafted, right, in 2021. Yep. And I tried to get him on my podcast. I tried to get him on Against All Odds because Harry was a huge Brock Purdy fan at Iowa State. Bet him to win the Heisman, bet Iowa State to win the Big 12. And I tried to get him on and he said no. He said, yours is the most irrelevant podcast, and I'm not going to go on. He didn't exactly say that, but by not showing up, he said that. So,
he's a devout Christian. Maybe he was offended
by
some of the content.
Oh, yeah. He probably doesn't want any part of this.
Yeah, I did some Brock Purdy research. He's the most successful Mr. Irrelevant of all time is Ryan Succop. Did you know that?
Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's a chance to already beat Succop. Mm-hmm. He threw for over 12,000 yards at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. And in 2019, there's a stat where it's like only five quarterbacks threw for 27 touchdowns. It was like him, Fields, Lawrence, Jalen Hurts, and Burrow.
It was a good offense.
But going back to him in high school, and this is why I think there's going to be a lot of stories about him this week. So he was a good like prospect, gets mono his junior year in high school. He's in Arizona. Mm-hmm. So basically his whole junior year shot. He's not recruited at all. Senior year, he's going. Doesn't get one offer from a major college until November, which was Montana State. And then they kept winning. And they make the playoffs. He starts getting offers. By January, he has a walk-on offer from Alabama and some other ones.
He has Kansas. You going to go into the electives he took in junior year?
No, I'm almost done.
Oh,
He gets... Yeah. He goes from no offers to he's get Kansas, Iowa State, Arizona State, Boise State. And then Saban says, I got a scholarship for you. And Purdy says, no, I'm good with Iowa State. And he goes to Iowa State and he's there for 4 years, throws for 12,000 yards. But reading about this, I was like, I kind of like this guy. I wonder if this is going to be could this be like a Kurt Warner type story?
And that'd be a great story, right? Because Jalen Hurts, if he plays the Eagles in the playoffs or in the conference championship, that could have been the Alabama quarterback that Saban that he passed on Saban, I guess.
So my point is this guy's not a stiff. Like,
no,
he at least had enough pedigree in high school that Saban was like, here's an actual scholarship. And then he threw for a shitload of yards, and he was good today. I was impressed.
Yeah, you'll find like a lot of these pros were good in college, and for them to be good in college, they were excellent in high school. I mean, I don't know what kind of research you want to do, but yeah.
Yeah, but there's guys that come in like Sam Ellinger where you're like, wow, that guy's just, it's not happening. But you kind of know right away. Enough. Or yeah. Like the guy at Wofford today when he had to throw the Hail Mary to the Rams guy.
Okay.
And it went like 24 yards. You're like, that guy can run around, but ultimately like he doesn't really have it. This guy Purdy looks like if all
he's
he
not
going to
bury
do,
them. Yeah, no, he will not. That team.
That's my point. I don't think he's going to bury them. So even though it's brutal for them that they lost Jimmy G, I don't know. The only other thing I was thinking was Romo can't play anymore, right?
I don't think he can. He had once said years ago that it would take like a month for him to get back in shape. But so now what does that mean? Now he's not coming back.
Phil Rivers, too long.
No.
Breeze?
So
what if
funny,
Aaron Rodgers just tries to get waived like over the next week, just defends everyone in Wisconsin for a week?
Yeah, he could do that. It's so funny. We should, we cross teams off for the playoffs. We should do this for all aging quarterbacks, like Jeff George used to be the name we used to throw around. So in 2017, we should have been like, Jeff George is no longer available, according to us, right?
Eli Manning has been taken off the board.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so freshman year, Brock Purdy took English 101.
Good. Yeah.
I was bummed for the Niners, though, because you're watching that game, if you're a Niners fan, you're like, holy shit. Our team, we have one of the best four teams. We're feeling good. Yeah. And then in the blink of an eye, all of a sudden, you weren't. Lots happened today. We're going to take a quick break and then let's talk about Burrow. All right, so Burrow beat Mahomes again.
Mm.
He was the best player of the day.
So his cool, biggest, too. So cool. Like, never rattled, nothing. Never seen
I got to say, that was the best quarterback performance I think I've seen this year, and the stats didn't do it justice. If you watch the whole game, I thought they had pressure on him the whole game. I think he only got sacked. I think he only got
once.
Sacked like once, but he was, doing this,
sacked twice. Yeah. They had one sack. Yep.
He was doing this zigzag and pressure thing where the pocket felt like it was collapsing around him. He was just going like right, left. It looked like he was playing a video game and he was always coming out of it. He was totally calm. His throws were great. And
well, Boyd dropped that
awesome.
Touch. That should have been much. I should have had much better stats because Boyd dropped that wide open. I mean, I haven't seen a guy wide open like that in ages.
Yeah, that was
right?
Brutal.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, they could add 40 points in that game. And he's got Mahomes on the other end. And it really looked like it was going to be a showdown. Then Kelce just, this fumble that you see that play happen, three times a year when the guy's just dragging nine guys for extra yardage and they actually don't call it dead and he fumbles anyway. So they have that. Bucker misses a kick. I felt like the Bengals were slightly better because they should have put the game away or at least put a dent in it in the first half. And that 4th-and-1 call, oh my God, Sal, I was losing my mind. Joe Burrow's 6'4".
Yeah.
It's 4th-and-1. Just lean forward. He's getting a yard. He's 6'4". Play works 99.9% of the time. And instead, they run this like quick sweep handoff thing that the guy gets decked for -3, and instead of going up, they potentially either could have taken the field goal or gone up 10, and all of a sudden a half hour later the Chiefs are winning
and you could shove the guy, you could shove him, you could have three guys shoving his ass cheeks,
right?
The running backs pushing him forward, right?
Well, the Eagles have figured this out, that whatever that mass rugby formation they have on those short yardage, it's like the most unstoppable thing I've ever seen. It's like this massive, which by the way, somebody's going to like break their leg in one of those and then we'll
bet. Yeah, I don't love it. I would rather them change the rule back. I don't want to see, it is rugby. I don't want to see throw-ins. I don't want to see corner kicks in our football, you know? Like, what happened to it not being legal? That wasn't good enough? But anyway, you're right. Yes, quarterback sneak is a great little solution to these 4th-and-a-half a yard.
I bring it up because I thought they were a little bit better than the Chiefs. And I think the Bengals are really good. I felt that way before the game. Whatever I'm throwing out the first couple weeks, I think they're a legit contender. And then you think Lamar goes down. They're both 8-4. Baltimore has the advantage right now. In the division because of tiebreakers.
Yeah.
But they don't because Lamar's out. Mm-hmm. So My guess is the Bengals get that 3 seed unless something funky happens. Chase is back. He looked great today. And I think that's the third best team in the conference, don't you?
I'm hoping they get a 3 seed because of that, right? It would be nice if the Chiefs got, if the Bills got a 1 or the Chiefs got a 2, or reverse that if you want, and the Bengals got the 3, right? Just to keep them out. I know only one team gets the bye now, but yeah, I want to see the Bengals have a home game. I want to see those 3 teams in the final 4 for the AFC, right? So let's get the Bengals there.
So since he has Cleveland home this week.
At
Tampa, at New England. Home Buffalo, home Baltimore in the last week. So that Baltimore game will decide it. Baltimore, no Lamar, I would guess this week. They're at Pittsburgh. I bet on Pittsburgh today, so I watched a lot of that game. Pittsburgh's decent. You know, their defense is good. They have athletes on both ends. It always feels like they left some points on the table because their receivers are so scary. Pickens is mad 5 times a game. Mm-hmm. They can run the ball. Pickett's not awful. He's okay. He can move around. He's fine. He's like a C+. And I think Baltimore's in, we'll do guess the lines later, but I think Baltimore will lose that game. And then since it'll be in the driver's seat, and then that'll be it.
Well, they're 5-7. I mean, there are 3 5-7s. We can get into this later too. Like Pittsburgh, Detroit, Raiders. These are teams I don't want to play. I'd rather play some playoff teams than the 3 I just mentioned. I think I'd rather play the Bucks than any of the 3 I just mentioned. For some reason, The offenses have come to life, not as much for the Steelers, but that defense is so overwhelming. But yeah, Ravens are in a little bit of trouble. Let's just try not to make the mistake. If Huntley has a good game, say he's better than Lamar. I'm trying to think of what this Lamar contract was like, though, like this screw up of not signing. Is this like, I don't know, is this like Louis C.K. like turning down like a $100 million Netflix picture and then like getting canceled? I don't know what the equivalent is, but my God, what a bad move.
It's the contract year from hell.
Yeah.
Hurts his knee. Bateman goes down for the whole year. This guy was supposed to be his number one receiver. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to get Dobbins back. Dobbins was barely Dobbins. Then he leaves again.
Stanley's out. The offensive lineman's out.
Yeah, loses his left tackle.
Every other game. Yeah, right.
And then on top of it, like the Kyler thing, I think is a piece of this, right? The Cardinals like panic. For whatever reason, they give Kyler that guaranteed money. That's a disaster. Russell Wilson, Denver does that. That's a disaster. And I don't know. I don't think those $250 million deals are floating around the same way they were 6 months ago. I would be a lot more nervous about it. Not like Lamar is way more, I would say, a safer bet than Kyler. Russell had the history, at least, and you could argue change of scenery. But
I'm trying to, I know you made fun of Dak, but he got injured. He hurt his knee, right? And he got a decent contract. Maybe had they negotiated with him earlier, it would have been better. But there'll be money for Lamar. But yeah,
there will. But I think the Kyler thing screwed it up. It's a little like what happened in the NBA when the Gobert trade. Minnesota overpaid for Gobert to the point that when Durant asked to be traded, the Nets were like, well, the market's been established with the Rudy Gobert trade. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the league was like, no, it hasn't. We're not trading that. You're not getting that for Kevin Durant. He wants to leave. That's not happening. That trade was insane. That trade's never happening again. Mm-hmm. And I think the Kyler thing, that contract is never happening again. Well, that contract's going to kill their franchise for 3 years. Same for the Wilson one.
I think you're right. But what if the Haslams buy the Ravens? I mean, there only takes one crazy owner, right, to give stupid money when it's not warranted. But I know what you're saying.
Ravens are pretty disciplined, though.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think that. I mean, look at how they handled it heading into the season. Everyone's like, well, they're going to take care of them. They're not going to let this hang over the season. The Ravens are like, watch this. We're letting it hang over the season. With the back to the Bengals for a second. Burrow was 25 for 31 for 286. Mm-hmm. He was 11 for 46 rushing. And then had this one crazy keeper thing where like 3 guys had hits on him that seemed like it was going to be the end of the season for him. He survived that. They got 26 first downs. And I don't know. I have them with Buffalo and KC now as the top 3 in the AFC. And I don't know what my order is yet because we don't know how healthy Allen is. I still think KC's the safest pick if I'm taking 1-3. But I think Cincy is back in that mix, especially at 8-4. But you were mentioning some of the
Buffalo's back being the they're the 1 seed now, right?
Buffalo's like, the 1 seed.
So Miami right now lost. Goes, the, yeah.
Yeah, it goes Buffalo, KC, Baltimore, Tennessee would be our 1-4. Mm-hmm. Cincy and Miami are the top wild cards. And that they're both 8-4. And then it goes Jets 7-5, Pats, Chargers 6-6, Vegas, Cleveland, Pittsburgh 5-7. I had the same thought you did about the Raiders, because I bet on them today too. The Raiders are pretty good. Like they're well coached. All the shit McDaniels took, even on this podcast, like that team is well coached. They know who they are. They have a little bit of a pass rush. Jacobs is running out of his mind. Adams, did you see that Adams catch?
It drives me nuts. It's great. The one-handed one where he's flying out of bounds. Like,
yeah, because there was a lot of, it was Chargers, Raiders. There's a lot of shit being talked on both sides.
Right.
And Adams catches this big third down one-handed right in front of the Chargers bench. Mm-hmm. And he just like Denzel and Man on fires it. Just like, just slow walks it back while staring down their sideline. Like, I don't know, man. The Raiders could get to 10-7. I was looking at it. It's not
inconceivable. The last two are tough. I know what you're saying. They're at the Rams, which whatever, that's a home game. Patriots, and then at the Steelers. They could win those.
Right. So that gets them to 8-7.
8-7.
Then they have San Francisco, which is now Brock Purdy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's home. I mean, that's, you can't tell me they can't beat Brock Purdy at home.
And then they'll be favored.
And then KC last week of the season, and KC could be, they might have the two seed.
I just hate it because, I had them to win the AFC West, and then I know, they lost you might all be right. those games. But I backed off it. They lost 7 of their first 9. I'm like, I'm not betting them anymore. And they beat the Broncos, they beat the Seahawks, and they beat the Chargers. So, yeah, as soon as I get back on, they'll screw me. That's a Thursday game, right? At the Rams?
Well, I had a couple of questions for you off this. One is that, could we see Baltimore not make the playoffs? Because Baltimore is 8-4, and they've had some really, really dubious wins, including the one today that was pulling it out of their colon. And Denver had 19 chances to put that game away and then missed a 63-yarder at altitude that I thought they were going to make. Mm-hmm. But Baltimore's got at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland next two, Atlanta and Pittsburgh at home. You figure mm-hmm. they'll split the Pittsburghs. And then they're at Cincinnati the last week. But what if, I don't know, what if there's like a three-way tie of 10-7? What if they go 1-4 the rest of the way? I'm not locking them in the playoffs yet.
It's gotten to a point where there's no game they're definitely going to win, right?
I don't think so.
If they couldn't put this one away, and I know Lamar got hurt, and Denver scores no points, but we saw them blow 4 double-digit leads or 2-score leads in the second half. So you can't say there's any single game on their schedule that's a definite win.
And the other one who's definitely not a playoff team, and I think people have them mentally in there, but they're not, is Miami. Miami's mm-hmm. 8-4. Chargers this week, that's a loser-leaves-town match for the Chargers, right? They lose that, it's over.
Yeah,
because they've lost to everybody in the AFC.
That was the flex game to Sunday, yep. right? So, all right.
So they got at Chargers, at Buffalo. Home mm-hmm. Green Bay is the one easy one. At New England, so they'd have to beat New England a second time. And that was probably a loser-leaves-town match for New England. And then Jets last week. And it does feel like if I had to pick between the Jets and Miami right now, I think I'd take the Jets.
Whoa, easy, fella. Really?
I thought the Jets, that was a brutal loss today. But I thought they were a better team than Minnesota. And I thought they left the game on the table. They had weird play calls. They were in the red zone. We didn't see their punter for the last 2+ hours of that game. The last time he punted was like the 5-minute mark of the second quarter. They're moving the ball down. Garrett Wilson was awesome. Their defense was hitting the shit out of Cousins. And eventually I thought he got a little psyched out. I just thought they outplayed Minnesota. And unfortunately, they have Jefferson.
I just don't trust Mike White. I don't know. I get it. The excitement and everything. And you bet $15 on their defense. And every
Zonovan. That didn't work out for me today.
Zonovan, whoever they got going, you go. But
who do you think was going to win with 6 minutes left?
I had the Vikings. I thought they were going to hold on. I had them. They took their foot off the gas. Yeah, actually one of my few winning bets. But he threw 57 times, Mike White, And I don't know. He's picked twice. Like this secondary, you saw what they do. They make average, below average quarterbacks look good. Your guy threw all over him on Thanksgiving.
I know.
So I thought that
was a good Jets loss. It was a Jetsy Jets performance, right? Where they lose, but their fans are like weirdly enthused and they shouldn't be, but they have a lot of good players. Garrett Wilson is as good as any receiver I'm watching week to week now, except for Jefferson and
He's solid. He looks like a fourth year pro. He really does.
Yeah,
out there.
He's awesome. So the Jets have at Buffalo this week, Detroit, Jacksonville, at Seattle, at Miami. Mm-hmm. I think they get to 10 wins, which will get them in. And well, the Pats fall off.
Yeah.
Right?
We talked about this at lunch. You and I went to lunch.
On Friday, yeah.
I mean, I was staring at my pizza, but I was paying attention. I said the Jets and Giants were both even odds to make the playoffs or not make the playoffs, whatever you want to do. And then we said the Jets, that schedule, now they're a team that's going to win these games, right? They'll beat the Jaguars and maybe at the Seahawks and maybe at the Dolphins in a game that they might not need. But yeah, so they're going to have 10. They're going to get to 10, I think.
Pittsburgh 5-7. They'd have to beat Baltimore twice. Mm-hmm. They'd have to beat Vegas at home. It's not unbelievable, but they're probably a 9-8 team. On the NFC side, we basically have five playoff teams and then two spots for the Giants 7-4-1, Seattle 7-5, and Washington 7-5-1. The dumbest game of the day.
But do you think that was, I don't want to say that was strategy for Ron Rivera. I'm not sure who to be mad at more about the tie. Like both fan bases seemed like devastated, but I feel like Washington was like, hey, we have a bye, then we play this team again, and we're going to beat them at home, and that'll be it. Then they'll be done, right? I mean, why is Ron Rivera running on third and 10?
I know, but what did people want them to do in that game? Like, at that point, you're not going to win, so you can at least get like a half win. Listen, I hated it. I had a parlay with Washington just to win with the adjusted under of 52, and I thought I was home free. They're first down. Overtime, they're on the Giants 43. Brian Robinson, every time they gave him the ball, would rush for 6 yards, and somehow he gets stuffed again. 1 yard pass, all of a sudden they're punting, and I'm like, what just happened? This game was over. Thibodeau was awesome today. I thought he was very omnipresent. Yeah. Right, the fact that guy fell to fifth was rough, and then Martindale just cues up these blitzes, and if you're gonna like run or do those short passes against them. That was why I thought they found their groove in the fourth quarter. They started like flinging the ball and then throwing it over the blitz.
I think Dable should get a little shit for this game, right? They took their foot off the gas. They were up 20-13 with the ball, and they gave Heinicke. It's kind of weird. It's like, all right, listen, I'm not very good for most of this game, but I'm gonna make things interesting towards the end if you keep us in there. And he kind of did, right? Two touchdowns on 275 yards. But then you don't think they should have, like on 3rd and 10, they run, right? And it's 4th and 5.
No, you gotta chew clock because the Giants stupidly called their second time out. So you chew clock, you chew 40 seconds, you're basically guaranteeing the tie.
You're guaranteeing it. But all right, so even on 4th and 5, they're in punt formation and they call a timeout. Like get to the line. If you're gonna call that timeout and you're gonna eventually punt,
hard count.
Yeah. It's nobody does it anymore. Drives me nuts.
It was interesting betting against Danny Dimes today.
He just takes off. They have such a weird offensive game plan, that team.
He's semi-scary to go against. I can't explain it. And I was like, is this guy kind of better than maybe I wanted to admit? I felt like when he would roll out on those design rollouts, I always felt like he was going to just beat the first guy and get 5 yards. I went and looked at it. So right now he's rushed for 522 yards this year already.
What was his major in high school?
11 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions, 2 fumbles. So he's only had 6 turnovers, right? If we went in the season and I said the Giants are going to be 7-4-1 in 12 games and Daniel Jones is going to have 6 turnovers, you would have been like, what? No way.
Right.
He's thrown for 2,365. So I was like, all right, he's on pace to throw for 3,000 yards. And rush for 700. How many guys have done this ever? And the answer is 8.
Really?
Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, RG3, Josh Allen, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, and Randall
Michael
Cunningham.
Vick?
That's it.
No, not Michael Vick. Wow.
At least according to Pro Football Reference.
Well, the problem is they were 7-2. I know they're 7-4-1, but they're 7-2. And it's like, I don't know. It's basically a loss this last game.
Well, remember that Alex Smith, a couple teams tried to do this with them where don't hurt us, run the ball, use your legs. And you know, I think the problem for them is they just keep getting injuries. You know, they're like, they've been a mash unit for a month. Right. But one of those teams, so if you look at how it's going to play out potentially, where with the 2-7 right now, it'd be Minnesota, Seattle. The 3-6 would be Niners, Giants, and the 4-5 would be Tampa, Dallas. Any scenario, you're playing Tampa, which is great for you.
Yeah, great.
But
we'll lose again. Yeah.
But San Francisco in that 3 spot, and they're pretty much locked in there now, right? They're 2 games behind Minnesota. They're 2.5 games ahead of Tampa. So they can really kind of cruise to the 3 seed. But that the Giants or Washington is going to be, you know, one of those two teams going to be looming, and it's just going to be this ugly game where you have Brock Purdy and like a, you know, 16-13, 19-13 type game. The Giants can beat that team.
They'll crush that those receivers. Look at these pass catchers. Darius Slayton, who I think has the second most drops or something in the league. Isaiah Hodgins, Daniel Bellinger, Richie James. These are the guys. I can imagine against the 49ers defense. I know one game is, you know, anything could happen, but Lord, they're going to have to move the ball with those guys.
When Warner got that pick, that whole defense moves like they're like one of the gangs from the Warriors or something. They all move to the sideline and it was just like, ooh,
these guys,
this is a tough looking team. The AFC right now would be KC and the Jets. That's a really fun game.
That's fun. Yep.
Baltimore, Miami, and then Tennessee, Cincinnati would be the 4-5. So my guesses would be, I think it would be Buffalo, Jets as the 2-7, Cincy, Baltimore, 3-6, Tennessee, Miami, 4-5. And if we got those three, I think that would be pretty fun.
You're giving KC the one seed, you said?
I think I would bet on KC as the one seed if I had to. What would you do?
I don't know, man. I was impressed with you. I loved your Patriots Thursday night. I was like, this is it. In fact, I don't know. My narrative this week is some of these coaches have to have these games circled on the calendar. Your guy against the Bills because of the thrashing they gave him in January. I thought stupidly that Houston would have the Cleveland game circled. I thought Kansas City would have the Cincinnati game circled since they beat them twice last year. I thought Eberflus would have the Green Bay with all the we own you stuff. Now you have a gimpy Aaron Rodgers coming down. All that, they all lost. Every single one of those. Like, not one could avenge any of those losses. So weird.
Yeah, for the Pats, it wasn't a kitchen sink game. It was like a clogged toilet game.
Yeah.
I agreed with Mac and all those guys. Like, they have no Von Miller. Secondary's banged up. But they're fast. And all we're doing is helping them out by these little dump passes and sweeps. It's like, here, all right, let's keep running the one thing that they know they can stop. Why aren't we challenging them downfield? Try to get some PIs. All these other teams try to do it. I didn't get it. The plots that we have left before we go to the break, we have Buffalo versus KC for the one seed, Balt versus Cincy for that division, the Jets versus the field for 7 seed, Giants, Washington, Seattle, you can only have 2, NFC South, whatever the fuck's going to happen that. And today, Atlanta loses. So if the New Orleans beats Tampa tomorrow, it's officially a giant clusterfuck as we predicted. Philly versus Minnesota for the one seed. And then the only other thing I had is like, it does seem like Baltimore or Miami will miss the playoffs just because the history of December, the last 4 weeks, there's always one team that tanks. Right? We're like, whoa, just 3 weeks ago, they were in the driver's seat. Now they're playing for their lives. So that would be my pick, one of those two teams.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't want to lay on Miami too much because they played the best defense in football and they scored.
Yeah, their
first.
Tackles were hurt. I mean,
his stats too is going to look so much better than they were. Right, the 2 long touchdowns.
How many receivers did he miss?
Really bad. I mean,
at least 10, turnovers. Right?
Yeah, yeah, it was no good. But again, I maybe you get a pass if you play that 49ers team.
It was pretty when they announced that both tackles were in trouble. That wasn't great. We had the AJ Brown revenge game.
Yeah.
We had the Malik Hooker revenge game in your game. And we had the Brock Purdy, God was always on my side game, I guess. We also had, let's talk about Deshaun and then we'll go to break. He's
great.
Awful.
He was good. Apologized to the Browns. It was a great signing. Took care of business, 27-14, the double-digit win. What can you say?
Yeah, he put up 27 points. Oh, no, wait a second. Who scored those points?
He was so bad. Yeah.
He was so
12 for 22,
bad.
131, one interception, and just his timing was off all over the place.
He was throwing grounders left and right. They weren't running him. And Houston, you know, Lovie Smith versus Stefanski was kind of an underrated checkers match. There was some really dumb shit going on. Like the Browns ran for a safety at one point. Chubb, they just ran into the center's back and fell down, and that was it. But the Texans are just so bad. It's gonna
Do you know
be
how hard it is to cover 8.5 goddamn points without scoring an offensive touchdown? You know how difficult it is? I'm so mad. Why did I have so much money on them? If they play anyone else, they lose that game by 21, the Browns.
Who did you have money on?
I had the Texans. I'm just
addicted
to betting bad team. Yeah, that was one of my circles. I mean, get up for that game, Lovie. Come on.
Well, then the other one was the Rams almost beat the Seahawks.
Right.
And it started to feel like they might. Geno made a couple throws in traffic that each one felt like it was a pick, but then his guy ended up catching it, and then they went down and scored.
Maybe
but
that's the team that goes away. Are you counting
that? Could
them?
Be
are
the
they,
team.
Are yeah, they I'm good counting. Enough even to just put in that category?
Yeah, because it's two of Giants, Washington, Seattle. Mm-hmm. And I think that tie was actually really bad for Seattle.
Right.
Because I mean, now there's a roadmap for those two teams could both go 10-5-1. Or I'm sorry, 10-6-1. And Seattle goes 10-7, and then they don't make it.
Right. And they have the 49ers, Chiefs, and Jets in that within the five left. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
Right. Let's take a break. We'll do the week 14 guess the lines. All right, guess the lines. We have 6 bye teams this week.
Yeah, what is that?
It
should never be more than
4. Yeah, I think
it should never be more. I want them to give us the chance to do the schedule 1 year. Can you block out like 4 months? You and I just sit in like a Shakey's and work, and we do the schedule for every team.
I just think they should call us when it's stuff like, hey, do you guys think it makes sense if we had 6 bye weeks in week 14?
It's like, okay,
no, that's a terrible idea.
Well, how many did you have in week 13? 2. Yeah, sure. Yeah, have 6 then the following year.
Hey, why don't you just go 4-4, you morons?
Mm-hmm.
So it wreaks havoc with fantasy because, of course, this is the last fucking fantasy week before the playoffs.
Exactly. Although so Atlanta, teams, Green Bay, Atlanta, Chicago, Green Bay, Indy, you're doing okay. New Orleans, Washington. It's not a bad 6 in terms of fantasy.
Yeah, you're right. That's fair. Up. Thursday night, the Rams. I think the Rams are on TV the rest of the way, which is hilarious, unless they can get flexed.
Oh, really?
Thursday night, Rams, Raiders. It's in LA. It's going to be a lot of Raiders fans. The Rams are awful. Aaron Donald's not going to play. Stafford's out for the year. Cup's nowhere to be seen. The Rams guys that were making plays today, I was stupefied. Cam Akers, who they tried to waive for like a month.
Yeah.
Van Jefferson. It makes no sense how they're moving the ball at all. But
and you still have Jalen Ramsey screaming at guys, almost getting personal fouls, but yeah.
McVay was really into the game. It felt like it was like his Super Bowl.
I think he would like to beat Carroll. I don't think he likes losing to Carroll, but
yeah, probably
it's, out of his hands at this point.
I have the Raiders by 4.
All right, I get this. I said 6. It's 5.5.
Hmm.
This is it. Now, right now, everybody takes the Raiders on a teaser, and they're going to lose money going into the week. It's going to be very sad.
I'm going to be one of them. Sunday marquee, would you have Bills Jets in this spot or would you have Eagles Giants?
I don't want to give away.
I'm just saying, what's a better game? I had Bills Jets. I didn't know if I was going rogue.
Yeah.
This is in Buffalo.
There might be another one in there out of the 3, but I say Minnesota Detroit's pretty good too. But go ahead.
I had that next group.
All right.
Jets beat the Bills already. We thought it was a huge fluke and a giant upset, and then it kind of turned out like, nah, actually the Jets might be all right.
Yeah.
And now I think this is Bills by 7.5.
I get you here too. I said 8, it's 9.5.
That's
here we
nice.
Go. Come on. Here we go. Come on now.
What are our records, by the way?
Don't worry about that. I would have said it in the beginning, but now we're too far into recall.
Okay.
You're 6-3-4. 6 wins, 3 losses, 4 ties.
You're a little closer than I realized.
I'm
a little more distance.
This week.
You're like the Raiders. You're just kind of lingering. The watchables, we got three. Mention the first one. Eagles Giants. It's in New Jersey.
Yep.
I feel like I've lost money on the Eagles at least four times this year. Like somehow.
Really? Betting against them?
Yeah, somehow it's like I had the Titans today. It's like, oh no, this is the week that, and it's isn't the week.
My whole stat, we put out a chart. Everybody had the Titans over the best team in the NFC. And then I'm talking to you and House. And I'm like, everybody's got, it's a weird thing. I think it's like when you show up to a wedding. Like, I don't understand when women are like, oh man, she wore the same thing as me at the wedding. And I'm like, oh, who cares? And like, this is how I feel with a bet. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Simmons and I can't both be on the Titans. They're going to lose.
I know. Well, part of my theory was that everybody would be on the Eagles after how good they looked last week, but it was the opposite.
Right.
Everyone zagged. So it's kind of ruined my thing. I know this is crazy. Burks catches that touchdown and basically gets knocked out.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, because I really felt like they needed Burks in this game, and I thought it was going to be a higher scoring game. Once they lost him, what are they? They're not going to move the ball without Burks.
Where is this Derrick Henry? It's too cold to tackle him. Why don't we start? We're in December now. Let's get it going. 11 for 30.
I have the Eagles by 4.5 at the Giants.
Oh, you went low here. I said 7.5. It's 6.5.
Man, I'm 2 points off all of these.
Mm-hmm. I got some bad ones coming up.
Next one's Vikings Lions. It's in Detroit. You know, I was so proud of myself for staying away from the Jaguars today.
Good.
Jaguars were just, you know, they unbuttoned their top button on their blouse and were just like, did you see me last week?
Right.
You're like, yeah, you look great. And then and all of a sudden you bet Doug Peterson and Trevor Lawrence on the road.
I think Trevor Lawrence, if you're making the blouse, he officially needs a haircut if you're making that analogy.
Yeah, fair. But yeah, it's these sucker bets for these, and it's been all year. There's like 10 teams in there that if they've just won the last week, don't bet them the next week.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Vikings at Detroit. I really thought about making Detroit favorite in this game because I don't think the odds makers like Minnesota, but I did Vikings by 1.5.
All right, you get it. I said 3. I thought it'd be a full 3, but they don't give them any respect for a 10-2 team. It's +1. Detroit is a 1-point underdog, so you get it.
Okay. I have one more watchable, Sal. You're going to laugh. Seahawks hosting the Panthers.
Hmm. You love this Panthers team.
I like this game.
I think
this is going to be a fun game. I like watching the Seahawks. I enjoy them every week.
Good.
I think the Panthers with rejuvenated Sam Darnold playing for their playoff lives, maybe a game out in the NFC South. Like, I don't know. I'll watch this game. Probably have some money on it. It's in Seattle, and I think Seattle is going to be favored by 6.5.
Do we split this? Yeah, I said 5.5. It's 6.
Mm.
Kenneth Walker, there was a weird thing with, you don't see running backs yelling at quarterbacks, right? Did you see that? K-9? And then he was out of the game. That was strange. Maybe the Seattle's, maybe they are the free fall team. Is it gonna start
I was
with
driving.
Panthers,
yeah. I snuck off to go to cryo with Zoe during the late games for a half hour.
Oh my God.
I'll explain why they're in parent corner.
Where's the leave meeting button?
No.
Leave meeting.
I'll explain. Parent corner will make sense. But I was listening to the Seahawks on Sirius now. They have all the local broadcasters. So I put on the Seahawks thing because I wanted to hear the Seahawks game because I had them in tees. And they had no running backs left. That guy, Tony Jones, gets hurt. He got kind of knocked out. And the announcer's like, oh, we don't have any running backs left. And the other guy's like, I don't think we do. And I think they had forgotten that DJ Dallas was still on the team.
Right.
But he was like, he better come back. That's our last running back. And I'm like, I have the Seahawks in a tease. They ran out of running backs? What happened?
Cam Akers has scored 2 touchdowns on you. Don't worry about having a decent running back. Right.
So I don't know what happens. What did they say with Walker? Is he playing next week?
I think so. I don't know what it didn't seem. It didn't seem season threatening.
All right, fairly watchables. I got 5. Bengals home for Deshaun and the Browns.
Mm-hmm.
This is a absolute teaser. No,
well, I can't give it away. I mean, I know what you're saying.
Well, I had Bengals by 8.
Oh, good. All right, I said 7. It's 4.5.
Oh, come on. What?
I know. That's
oh,
ugly.
My God.
That's really
that
ugly.
Tonight.
But we're all Joe Burrowed, right? We're all smoking cigars with Joe Burrow. But is this the Myles Garrett 3 sacks, 2 strip sacks, fumbled game? I don't know. I do worry a little bit. Not because of Deshaun, but.
That's stupid.
Did they play? They played this year, right? They definitely played.
Yeah.
Let me see.
The Bengals are going to run all over them.
Bengals won 32-13. Obviously, no. I'm sorry. No. Oh, no. This was the Halloween game.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. Throw that out. It's Thursday night. Their coach had died the day before.
Monday night. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, what are we going to do?
We're going to bet Cincinnati.
I like the Bengals even more now.
I think the Browns stink. Next one. Tennessee home for the Jags. I would say this is a loser leaves town match for the Jags, but they already packed and they're gone and they didn't even leave a security deposit.
That's
they're
it.
Done. So long.
They left
so
the blouse. Jags. All right.
Titans 7-5. I have their over under. I think I bet it was 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that there was no way in hell that that would still be alive for me.
You're nervous? Oh, yeah. No, you got it.
No, I would have thought the Titans were going to get to 9 wins, right?
Yeah, you still have the Texans.
But I bet the under.
Jags
I'm
twice.
Saying.
Oh, I see. Oh, yeah, you're done. Yeah.
Am I?
Well, they're going to beat the Texans. They're home for the Texans. They have the Jags twice.
And yeah, I guess I'm done.
At the
you're
Chargers.
Right,
I don't know. Might be close. You might be able to hedge the last week.
I just want to get to the hedge the last week and then screw up the hedge. That's my goal.
I'll help you. That's why I'm here.
Sal, what do I do? Do this. All right, I'll do the opposite. I have Titans favored by 5.5 at home against the Jags.
It should have been, right? I said 5. It's 3.5.
Oh, man. You're killing me this week.
I'm beating you here. It's 6-2 now.
Jesus.
You better figure something out quickly. But that's low.
Well, is there a line for this Pittsburgh-Baltimore game?
There is.
Okay. It's in Pittsburgh. I continue to like this Pittsburgh team. 2 wins in the last 6 days, and I have Pittsburgh favored by 2.5 over the Ravens.
Let me just make sure they didn't pull it or didn't do anything stupid here. Okay. No, it is a pick 'em, and I said +1.
Oh, you hit that one too.
I got that one too.
Pick 'em. Fuck you. So, 2 pick 'ems a year.
Love you.
Can't lose. Never have pick 'ems. What the hell?
They don't know what to think of this. I mean, shouldn't Huntley be better than Pickett? Really, honestly, though, right?
Huntley's one of those guys he can look good on a drive, but when you watch him for 2 hours, he's pretty limited.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, what are we betting with the Ravens if we bet?
Like when they go schoolyard Kyler with him, like in 3 minutes left, he looks better. But when he actually has to run an offense, it's a little dicey.
Yeah, the Broncos might be the only team he could beat at this point.
Well, we have them coming up next. They're hosting the Chiefs in Denver. Mm-hmm. And this is just the classic give you the hook to make you think about it. Chiefs by 7.5.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, you got it closer than I did. I said 10.5. It's 8.5. You get it. Well, we got that's a teaser. That's a teaser game.
The Broncos are so bad this year that even when they cut into them in the red zone, it's one of those things where it's like, let's go to the Denver where it's 4th-and-1 for the Broncos. And then it's like a hard count followed by a timeout. And Scott Hansen or whoever is like, let's go to Jacksonville.
Yeah. I actually
they can
think
even
every
be fun
team
in the red zone.
Every team should have their own red zone. It's not fair that it's the 20-yard line and in for the Denver red zone should be if they pass their own 37.
It should be midfield. Yeah.
It's like things are happening.
Broncos, they're in field goal range at altitude.
Yeah, right.
49ers are home for the Bucks. Our guy Brock Purdy.
I was way off here. Way off. You could if you don't steal this one, you don't have a chance.
It can't be higher than 3.5, so I'm going to say 49ers by 3.5.
All right. Well, you still get it, and you were off 3 points. It's 6.5. I said 3. 6.5, God. Brock Purdy against Tom Brady. 6.5, the league
does
is
Brock
drunk.
Purdy need a nickname? What do we call him? BP? The Purdster?
I don't know. I don't know Purdy. If he's earned a nickname.
I'm getting Warner vibes, man.
Is it Mr. Irrelevant like
all over again? Yeah, he's Mr. Relevant. Maybe that's who he is. Now he's Mr. Relevant.
6.5 against Tom Brady.
Mr. Relevant taken on. And they'll be like, Tom Brady, you know, once upon a time, he was a 6 pick.
Yeah.
He was almost, or 6 rounder. All right, poopfecta. I have to hit these last three. Only one poopfecta game involves your team. The Dallas Cowboys.
You might get there. I didn't do well on these last three, so go ahead. Yeah.
Dallas at home against the Texans. This is the worst rivalry that should be a good rivalry, right?
Yeah.
Houston versus Dallas in football should be this amazing bad blood, Jerry Jones trading insults with the owner every year and all this stuff.
I remember losing a lot of money on the first game was Sunday night in Houston. Their first franchise game ever, Houston, you know, when they came back to Houston. And the Cowboys were only giving 6. It was a Sunday night. And I was like, oh boy, how much? I asked the wife, how much do we have in the checking account? And she lied to me. And I bet it all on the Cowboys. And they lost on the field. And she was wise to lie. But yeah, you're right. Other than that, should be a better rivalry.
I have Cowboys by 14.
You get it. I said 16.5. It's 14.5. They just won 54-19. What are they going to do to Kyle Allen or whatever, whoever's back there? Come on.
Sunday night. Dolphins, Chargers.
Yeah.
Probably not a loser leaves town match for the Chargers because I still feel like 10-7 can get there. But man, there's just something missing with that team. And maybe it's because they just never seem to have everyone healthy. Like no Mike Williams today. They've had injuries on the offensive line. They're always missing like 3 guys, but they don't have that mojo that they had where I feel like Herbert's going to pull one out. It's like the opposite. Now you're waiting for him to screw up in some way or there's bad omens with them or, here's missed field goal there. We got that out of the way. I don't think they have it this year.
It's interesting. The last 2 weeks they played teams a lot like themselves, right? They played Arizona. How do we figure out this game? Same thing with the Raiders.
Yeah. I think the Dolphins are favored in this game. And I actually think there's going to be a lot of Miami fans at this game. I know we say that every time there's an LA home game, but there's like a weird amount of Miami fans here. We know a couple of them.
If the amount is 11, it's going to be more than Chargers fans. It's not even weird. No such thing as a weird amount anymore.
Yeah. I have the Dolphins favored by 2.5.
Wow. This is going to suck. I'm going to blow a big lead here. I said 3.5. Because that's what it should be. It's 1.5.
Oof.
So it's now 7-6, and you could tie me.
Monday night. Cardinals hosting New England Patriots.
This game is in Guatemala, you know, right? No.
This game's in Hungary.
They moved it to Qatar. You know, yeah.
I think Arizona's going to be favored. And we've seen this line all season for some reason. And I don't remember ever seeing it as much as we've seen it this year. And I think we're going to see it again. Cardinals by 2.5.
I pulled it out. I said pick 'em because I was getting a headache. And I know you don't like pick 'ems. Your Patriots are favored by 1.
Oh, come on. Really?
Why?
My team's Arizona favored? Win?
That's it.
That's ridiculous.
You're in the playoff hunt. You're 6-6.
My team stinks.
In the better conference.
See my team? My team has our 23-year-old quarterback screaming at our defensive coordinator, who's not our defensive coordinator because he's our fucking offensive coordinator.
All right, but with 10 days rest, can he win? I mean, come on. Although Arizona was off, right? Oh, interesting. Anyway, 6-4-4. I'll take it.
Let me tell you something. We haven't beaten a team that has a quarterback that can run around all season. And even with the Cardinals, they're a mess. Yeah. Fields, Lamar, Josh Allen. Hasn't happened yet. Pick more running. Like if we played the Giants, Danny Dimes would rush for like 180 yards on us.
Wow. I like your team here.
There was a good piece in the Boston Globe about the Pats. I think Ben Volen wrote it about how the Pats went against something that they never did for 20 years was they went for quick fix shit with that free agency spend from 2 years ago when they splurged on all those receivers and tight ends, and now we throw for 5 yards of pass. But like, it was Belichick, like the pandemic, he kind of lost it. We went down this weird direction, and now we have this weird team that doesn't make sense with slow linebackers. And I don't know.
I'm just looking. Have you lost 3 games in a row?
I think it's going to happen.
You've not lost 3 games in a row. I don't think ever, because it didn't happen last year.
Cam Newton, I think we did. The Cam year, everyone forgets about.
You did? What year was that?
We had a 2020? Bad record that year. Yeah, we didn't have a good record that year.
That's right. That's right. All right. But it's been a while.
You know, Kyle texted me on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. He said, I finally lost faith in Mac Jones.
Really?
Yeah.
Kyle, you said that?
Yeah, he did. Kyle, you said it.
He was drunk, though. He didn't mean it.
I don't know if he was drunk. He might be drunk right now.
He doesn't want to come on now.
I think Parent Corner could be about how Kyle and his dad went to the frolic room today. That was the word in the street. All right, you beat me. So now you're 2 games back.
I'm excited. 6-4. That's how it should be. Come on.
You know,
down the stretch here.
These bye weeks with less games are always an advantage for the weaker team.
Right.
Less games, but more variance.
I think I got you distracted. You're watching NBA, of course, as usual. You're pretending to be into soccer. And, you know, there's a lot going on. That's why.
How much soccer did you watch over the weekend?
I'm watching all of it. But what I'm not doing is pretending to be an expert. Like, I'm fine with it. You know, I'm proud of them and whatever. But I'm not going to go crazy. You get in there. I know you watch your daughter's team and everything, but you don't know anything about this team, this men's team. You don't watch them.
I watch them. I watch their qualifiers. I know their team.
Oh, come
I get
on.
Mad about things like why isn't Yedlin playing and shit like that.
Our wingmen are unbalanced and it's leading to, I don't understand, but the substitutions are making me crazy. You don't have to be smart about everything. You know basketball and football. That's good.
Well, I know things like Aronson should play more. Be like if Dallas was like, where's CD Lamb? Oh, they're not going to bring him in until halfway through the third quarter. You'd be like, that's weird.
Do you really watch this team? You watch this team?
Yeah, like, Aronson's good. Aronson, Reyna, I don't know if he was actually hurt or not. There's like conflicting reports, but it never felt like we were playing our best guys together.
You could be saying anything now. Look, I bet the 0-0s. I'm just strictly looking at numbers here. I'm not pretending to be an expert, but 0-0 first half was really good last week to me. I wouldn't have survived football otherwise.
Here's what you need to know about soccer. You need somebody who can put goals in the net.
Oh, okay.
You watch these other teams and it's like, oh, Mbappe looks pretty good. He had a shot from 25 yards. He just put it in.
I feel like he's a cherry picker. That. I feel like he's a cherry picker.
You don't like Mbappe?
No, he's fine. I just feel like as onside as you can be without being offsides, that's what he is. But that's just from watching him. Can you say cherry picker? Are we going to find out that's
that was canceled. Getting canceled in 2025.
Okay, good. All right.
Yeah, so people who are allergic to cherries are offended to the word cherry pickers.
The cherry pickers were really, they were.
So have you bet on every World Cup game?
Yeah. I lost with Senegal today. There has to be an upset, right? They can't just take all favorites coming through. Like Switzerland has to win or Morocco has to beat Spain or something coming up. But again, I know nothing.
I actually thought Poland was going to get a little frisky and then that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I like their uniforms. Lewandowski's on that team. the other thing with the basketball was Davis is on a fucking heater now.
What do you have, 55 tonight?
All of a sudden, he's like one of the best 5 players in the league again. And the Lakers, who I think to make the playoffs, what were they, like plus 500 at one point? When they were 2-10?
Oh, yeah.
Plus 400? Yeah. Like the odds went like crazy on them.
Yeah.
And now they're at least probably a playing team.
Really? Just like that?
Well, OKC is going to be out and Houston and San Antonio and mm-hmm. I think Utah falls off. So it would be between them and Sacramento and Portland and then Dallas if anything weird happens to Luka probably.
Wow.
And maybe the Clippers. I went to Clippers Kings on Saturday and the Kawhi and Paul George were in street clothes. Mm-hmm. Norman Powell, like the Clippers didn't have like 4 of their best guys, but Kawhi is like almost mid-December. He still doesn't play.
Right.
So I don't know what they could fall out. Somebody weird's going to fall out of the West.
All right.
You want to do Parent Corner?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. T- Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. If you're looking for a car, CarMax has the perfect mix of online and on-the-lot shopping, so you can buy your ride on your terms. And you can buy online and get your car with express pickup or home delivery. Or if you'd prefer to shop in person, you can go to one of our 235 stores nationwide. At CarMax, buying a car is as smooth as driving it. Express pickup available nationwide. Home delivery available in select markets. See CarMax.com for details. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, what do you got?
All right. Well, if you're listening with a child, cover your kid's ears or like move into another room or something. I'm about to break down the fourth Winter Wonderland wall here. So, the elf on the shelf, right? So you've been done with this stupid thing for years, right?
Thank
your
God.
Your youngest is what, 16? Six, right?
I don't 15, know yeah.
15. Okay, so you're good. My going to be 9-year-old at the end of the month, I think. I don't know when his birthday is. It might be in March. No, he's going to be 9 at the end of the month. He says something about, he's like, are we going to do the elf again? I was like, ooh, this is good. This is good. Are we going to do the elf? That makes me think he knows now. And this thing, which is the bane of my existence, I have to set an alarm every night at like 11:30 after he's sleeping. So I move this thing. I was like, well, what do you mean? Are we going to do it again? He's like, well, I know it's a doll. I was like, oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm like, okay, good. So, you know, like we don't have to put him out and he doesn't have to move around. He's like, no, it's fine. I get it. I mean, because I know it's just a doll. And I said, great, because it's good for him too, right? Because the gig is like, you have to behave. This thing is watching you. And then he actually has to behave, but he doesn't because he gets whatever he wants. He's a spoiled brat. So
yeah,
but this is only on me to move the thing, right? This is all it is. So now we've come to this agreement. He's like, I get it, Dad. It's fine. I was like, good, beautiful. No more elf. We're done. You're 9. You don't believe it. The next morning, he's like almost in tears. And I said, what happened? He says, I lost a tooth and the tooth fairy didn't come and give me money. I was like, and I look at Melissa, I'm like, he lost a tooth. She's like, yeah, well, I forgot to tell you he lost a tooth. I said, all right, I'm knocking it all out here. I was like, you don't believe the elf isn't moving. You believe it's a doll and everything, but you actually still think that there's a fairy that flies into our house down the chimney or whatever while you're sleeping, replaces your cruddy teeth with money. Like, come on. Like, this is, and I basically said that, and like, she was mad. He's like, well, I don't know. I just thought it was going to be money. So now he's like, he doesn't believe in the tooth fairy, but he believes in the money. I'm like, okay. So if, I don't know. Cause I was going through my head. I'm like, what am I going to say? Is there was a supply chain shortage? The tooth fairy didn't make it or something. So now I'm like, no tooth fairy, no elf on the shelf. I could just leave money. Do I go for the big one? Do I go for the big guy? The fat guy with the beard.
Oh, take out Santa.
I'm thinking about it. But there'd be a lot of crap. I mean, that makes the least sense out of anything, right?
I would keep Santa going as long as you can.
Oh, really? Oh, he's going to be 9.
Santa's fun. Come on.
Yeah.
Get one more year of Santa.
Well,
he'll be 10. He'll look at the chimney and he'll just be like, wait a second. How does that guy fit through the chimney? This is stupid.
Right. Then
he'll figure it out.
I know. But he asked for obscure gifts that I say they don't sell on Amazon. And he's like, yeah, but Santa's elves are going to make it for me. And I'm like, ah, this would be nice to just do away with this now. All right, I'll keep the Santa. But Tooth Fairy's out, Elf on the Shelf is out, so I'm good.
I figured out Santa when I was like 5 or 6.
You did?
I just did the math of all the houses and the amount of minutes in the night, and I realized it was impossible.
Right. Just on your street, it would be impossible.
Yeah, I was like,
right?
All right, so 1 second per, and it was like, even if it's 1 second per house, and yeah. I was like, this can't be real.
Well, that's my thing. I'm like, you know, the kids are going to make fun of them. I tell my wife, this is bad, you know, so I'm trying to make it like I'm the savior here. But anyway.
My parent corner is, I've been up since 3:15 this morning. This is like a really heroic effort by me and the pod. I've been up for 18 hours already as we're taping this. So my daughter, you know, on the weekends, my daughter's like 17 and a half. She's a senior in high school, and she'll go out and she'll be like, hey, I'm going to go. And either she'll Uber or she'll take a car if she's not drinking, and she doesn't really drink. But she went out last night just to hang out with some friends. Mm-hmm. And she's like, when do I have to be back? And I'm always like, I don't know, 12:30. And my wife gets mad. She's like, she's going to be in college in 8 months. Like, it's got to, the curfew's got to go up. Like, think about when you were in high school, you weren't coming back at 12:30. I'm like, God, you're right. I was out till 2:30. You're right. So I'm like, all right, can you be home, you know, 2:15 range? But what happens is I'll fall asleep at like 12:30.
Right. Yeah.
12:45. But then I'll wake up panicked at 2:30, whatever, thinking she's not home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll look at my watch, which then my iPhone, and you turn the iPhone on and it's like a dark room and like blinds you, right? It's like the worst thing you can do is like look at an iPhone in the middle of the night. Set him up. And then I look at her Life 360 and it says she's in the house. I'm like, all right, great. She's in the house. All right, good. Right. I'm going to go back to bed. And then I just lie there. And on top of that, I've been sick. So I've been on these steroids that make my heart, finally, today was the last day. So I was just lying in bed and I'm just mad. And I'm like, God damn it. I should have just slept through it. Why did I have to look? I know she was going to be home. And I'm just up, but I'm watching TV and I'm watching like Behind the Music on Paramount Plus. I'm watching like a Hall & Oates Behind the Music at 4:30 in the morning. 5:30, I'm like, oh, fuck it. I'll wake up and I'll just go look at the lines and make coffee. And I make coffee and I'm watching Lifetime, some movie called, Dad Has Two Families or something on the Lifetime thing. This guy who had a family in America and Paris. I'm like, this is great. I'm having coffee and nobody's up. And
France was playing, right?
France came on at 7. Yeah. I'm like, all right, I'm going to tape the rest of this Lifetime movie. I'll watch France. I'll watch Studio Things. I'm like, this is awesome. By 8:30, I'm exhausted. And I'm like, this is the dumbest thing ever. And I've been up ever since. And I had like a giant coffee at 4:30.
Nice.
And that's why I went to Cryo today. I was like, maybe Cryo will wake me up. And my point is, it's really hard when you have these kids that you think are these little kids, but now they're like driving around and you feel like, I don't like going to bed when they're not here. It's weird.
Well, I think keep the midnight curfew until if she's going to college, then let her change her own curfew in college, right? I mean, when your
midnight curfew, when does Archie come home?
No, but I know we do try to make it like 12 or 12:30, but he's like, I don't know. He's more manageable. But honestly, the answer to that is when you were out till 2 or 2:30, like you knew you were up to no good, right? Like, oh yeah, that's why they have to come back at 12.
Yeah, but here there's driving. Yeah. Maybe I should make it 1 o'clock. She's not like one of those people though. Ben, right. If Ben was like, I'm going to be out till 2, I'd be like, wait, I'd be like following him in an unmarked car.
Yeah. Hall & Oates would have nothing to do with it then. Yeah. Well, it's tough now because you do have the 360, so you can tell if they're home, but you also, there's the ring app. And like, if a coyote walks by, you freak out, right? Like, and you're waiting for your kid to come home. It's a lot to navigate.
I got one more. I got a side thing. Friend corner. So Holy Cross made the final eight. And I was going to go back and I couldn't because of some family stuff. And a couple of my roommates from college went to the game. Pouring rain. Like classic. Like we went to school in Worcester, Massachusetts where you go and you visit and it's like April and it's beautiful. And then you're there and it's November and it's like 30 degree winds and pouring rain. So we beat New Hampshire. We kill them. Mm-hmm. And next week is either going to be South Dakota State or Delaware. So we're rooting for Delaware because we're like, if it's Delaware, we're all going to go. It's easy. We'll fly. Mm-hmm. The house will come and like the whole thing.
I bet South Dakota State, they killed them.
They win like 50-6.
Yeah.
So now we're looking at the South Dakota State thing. And like 30 years ago, we're like, we're going to South Dakota State, figure it out. But now we're older and you start looking at it. There's no direct flights. You got to fly to like Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Or Chicago and then connect. So then it's like, well, what's the weather next week? And it's like 40% chance of snow. So I called Jacko this morning and we talked it out and it's thinking like, all right, we fly to Minnesota, 4-hour drive from Minnesota to Brookings, South Dakota. You're we get there. They lose to South Dakota, like 40-20, like worst case scenario football game. Then we're on an Applebee's in Brookings, wherever the fuck South Dakota State is, just kind of commiserating the game before we drive 4 hours back to Minnesota where we're staying. And we're like, we're not doing this. This is stupid.
Angry but
like
age,
age 24, we would have done it. We wouldn't have thought of any of the worst case scenarios. We'd have been like, yeah, Brookings, Friday, we'll get there, we'll drive. And the older you get, you just start thinking of reasons not to do stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you would be able to skip cryo. It's probably 2 degrees there, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
Brookings has a cryo. I checked. They had a really good cryo center right next to the thing.
There are four. Did you guess the line for that game? Did you look?
No. Can we do it?
Well, I have.
Do you have it?
Yeah. You want to guess?
I would say it's probably South Dakota by 10 and a half.
Yeah, 14 and a half.
Oof. Our team's good, man. We have a good team.
You got to stay back.
But the Dakotas win every year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, North Dakota, yeah. I mean, if you lose 31-10, that's a miserable, miserable outing, right? Except you get to see the friends, Jack.
Holy Cross is 12-0 for the first time in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very proud of my program, our coach Chesney. We rebuilt something, and no other college can try to hire him. I'm just putting that out there.
Look at that.
There's a chance.
There you go.
We could beat Gonzaga for football in the East Coast. Right? We can beat all these other teams, like with the more academic schools. I don't know. We have something going.
You may have to pay him. I hope he stays. You may have to subsidize.
Should I have Spotify? Yeah, maybe I get the Swedes to get cut him some side money.
Yeah. Are you a booster anyway? Officially or no?
I think I'm gonna become a booster. Yeah, I think this is my destiny. JT Welsh and Blue Chips.
There you go. Simmons the booster. Yeah, he's really just a soccer expert, but let him boost the college football team.
I have some opinions on prongs in the offense. We should use prong forwards. Did I give you my prong forward thing? I thought we should use two forwards, not three.
Prong forward.
All right, that's it for Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. Everyone should have the confidence that they bought the right car. And the CarMax 30-day money-back guarantee means you get to take the time you need to make sure you found your perfect match up to 1,500 miles. See CarMax.com for details. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, what do you got to plug?
All right, against all odds tomorrow, -3 extra points, waiver wired, lemon pepper parlay, Megan Fund of Sports, Covering Glory, all found on the Extra Points Podcast Network. Picking the game, the side, the total, a prop, and first touchdown tomorrow and against all odds. I like the Saints, I'll tell you. I do like the Saints to cover this.
I also like the Saints.
Yeah.
We saw each other Friday. We went to Bianco Pizza.
Really good.
In Bianco Pizzeria in downtown LA. He brought us an entire pepperoni pie. Mm-hmm. Did you post that on Instagram?
I didn't. I should, right? I'll post it tonight.
I'll sent you the picture, right?
Okay, do it.
Yeah. I'll do it tonight. And then he brought us two green slices, and we each had four slices, and I was like a fucking mess the rest of the day.
I don't even know what to say about the green. Like, what is it? It's pesto, but I'm not going to do it justice. It's excellent, though, right?
It almost tastes like cream spinach if cream spinach didn't taste spinachy.
Yeah, right.
It has the same consistency of it, but it's way more delicious. Anyway, we had a ton of pizza and strategized for football playoffs and that stuff.
And we ended up betting the Titans. And that was it.
And then strategized. The Titans look great. Let's take them.
Pizza doesn't help, I guess.
I was like, I love Washington. They're going to come through in the Giants. I hit on Vegas and on Pittsburgh.
You did.
And then I hit on Cincy. So I actually had like a kind of a sort of
We should have just done stupid. Like, let's just look at it, right? Like, France is going to advance. Argentina is going to advance. And the Cowboys. Like, that's what we should have done this week.
Yeah.
Why are we screwing around?
Lakers against, and Celtics were going to beat the Nets. That was a lock.
Yeah.
Too fast for the Nets. By the way, Kyrie, after the game, remember when the Nets would beat the Celtics and then he would stay on the court and shake hands with everybody?
Right.
He was 7-for-21 and -16, walked right off the court.
Really?
We beat them by 13. It's like, where's Kyrie? Oh. I thought we were going to have some hugs and some handshakes.
Interesting.
No, he's gone.
He probably went to Temple. Who knows?
Yeah. Temple. All right, cuz. Good job by you.
Good job by you, Billy.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to Cousin Sal. Thanks to nephew Kyle Creighton for producing. As always, don't forget, I have a new episode on the Prestige TV podcast, White Lotus episode 6. You can find that after you finish this one, and new rewatchables coming on Monday night as well. I will see you in this feed on Tuesday. So